How often do we go around, especially I work with a lot of wellness and moms, and how often do we spend our day checking in with our boss, our partners, our kids, and everyone else before we're like, did I eat? Did I breathe? Did I pee? Did I, like, so I don't have time to exercise. Like, I think that's where it starts, is that we don't prioritize self.
I'm Michael Chernow, and this is the Creatures of Habit podcast. Our habits will make us or break us. It's just that simple. I've lived on both sides of the tracks and have learned that the decisions we make on a consistent basis truly define who we are as human beings. On this show, I will be interviewing some of the most inspiring, motivating, and high-performing humans I've encountered to share their daily habits, routines, and rituals that help them stay on top of their game and ultimately happy. So sit back, relax, and pay attention, because what you hear over the next 30 to 45 minutes could potentially change your life. Let's go.
Yo! Back at you, back again. Today I've got a guest on the show.
Yes.
My co-host for the Strong New York event in New York City in October, which was mad fun. We had a blast hosting that event. It was really good. Dr. Jamie Shear, kind of like beer, but Shear.
Best way to remember it.
Dr. Jamie Shear is an old friend. We met years ago. We were just trying to, I was just asking, you're like, when was the first time we met? And we met at a small little private gym in Soho, New York City, called Soho Strength Lab. Yep. And her and her husband were rocking out and getting people on a machine to test their VO2 max. Mm-hmm. That was the first time I ever tested my VO2 max. I wish I knew what my VO2 max was. You probably can pull that down.
100% I can pull that up for you. I will send that to you when I get home later.
I love that.
I'd love to definitely send that.
I haven't done it in a long time. I'd love to get back to it. But Jamie is just a wonderful human being. She's deeply connected in the fitness and wellness arena in New York, but really sort of all over the country. She is a public speaker. She's a naturopath and a registered dietitian. She's an integrative medicine doctor, so she works very intimately with her patients in a holistic way. She's not just looking at like, okay, this is, you know, these are the things that you have to do on a sort of like in a biological way. She's really focused on just the holistic human. And I love that. I love that, mm-hmm. There's not that many, when you hear the word doctor, you know, you kind of think of like your general practitioner or your family doctor that really, in my experience, is not looking at the truth. It's kind of like, and I'm not taking away from Western medicine because I think that there is a time and place for it for sure. But from my experience, I didn't start having a knowledge of what was actually going on in my body for real until I got connected to like functional integrative medicine. Mm-hmm. And so Dr. Jamie Shear, very excited to have you.
Excited to be here. That's fun.
Talk to us. I think what would be great is if you can kind of break down quickly what integrative medicine is.
Yeah. It's actually, the landscape of it has drastically changed in the past 5 years. But if we think of integrative, it's bringing in modalities and techniques that maybe are not associated with what we know as conventional medicine. And to your point of what you just said before, which is finding more functional space has elevated your wellness. It's helpful sometimes for people to be able to differentiate that traditionally speaking, conventional medicine is looking for disease and illness. But where we are in the landscape of wellness today, people aren't just looking for that. They want to know wellness. They want to know optimization. They want to know longevity. And traditional medicine isn't trained for that. It's trained to say, hey, you have strep throat. You need to take an antibiotic. Or, hey, there's a dysfunction within your pancreas. We need to look at this further. And they're looking for disease. And I always tell everybody, that is incredibly important because that will save lives, right? And we don't ever want to get rid of that idea and that way of medicine. And you should always have a conventional doctor who can find the disease. But really what people are looking for right now is also an integrative or functional doctor who speaks to wellness and longevity. And I think that's the difference.
So would you say that your practice revolves predominantly around preventative care for like, because I know for sure traditionally you go to the doctor
yep.
when you feel like something's wrong.
Looking for illness, yeah. disease imbalance.
You're like, I don't feel right, or I know this is off for sure. I'm going to go to the doctor. And what I've started doing, which I'm super stoked about, is I get my blood work done every 3 months.
Yeah.
Every 3 months I get my blood work done. Now, that I don't think that's just going to tell me everything. But if there's something drastic going on in my body that I need to know about and I get my bloods done every 3 months, chances are my white blood cell count is going to be elevated, right? Like we're going to see some imbalances.
You also might catch it before it's drastic by doing what you're doing, right? Sometimes it's when we wait too long that we then find what feels drastic versus watching the trend of something and seeing a change in it and then being like, let me pay attention or stay on top of this or make changes in my life so it doesn't become drastic.
Totally. I mean, I work with a telehealth company that I love called Blokes. Mm-hmm. And the guys at Blokes, they like it's so easy how convenient they make it there. But like a nurse shows up, pulls my blood. Mm-hmm. Wherever I am, 2 weeks later, I get my results. I sit down with a doc and we go through and it basically says, okay, dude, like you're in a standard, you know, acceptable place here. Like we need to shrink that to optimal. And this is what you're going to fucking do to get there. Yeah. And like in my mind, I'm just kind of like, God, man, imagine this was what we considered healthcare. Imagine it was about...
I wish.
Imagine that. Imagine how many lives would be saved.
Yeah. So I'm going to take you back for a second. So thank you for the lovely introduction. And that is a big part of my life, which is fitness. But what I don't talk about often and what most people don't know is that I have been an employee clinical medicine for 17 years. And my sole role is to educate physicians on how to practice exactly this, right? I work with physicians every single time I'm in the clinic. I go in on their visits. We talk about what can we do that's integrative, holistic, longevity? How can we not prescribe a medication but instead prescribe a lifestyle? What can we do that we can look at maybe as a screening and opportunity to prevent something? And this is because that language isn't taught in medical school for many reasons, and we're not going to get into the politics of it, but when a doctor comes out of medical school, they don't have an education on nutrition. They don't have an education on longevity, preventative medicine, functional medicine. They've got a robust education on how to make sure that they can find something that could kill you, but they don't have a robust education on making sure that you feel and look your best, right? So how do we change that? It starts by bringing people who have the education or the awareness into the visit with the doctor while the individual says, can you check my thyroid? I think I don't feel well. And the doctor's like, I don't need to. There's no reason to. And then having a conversation, well, what if we just screen for it, right? What if we listen? What if we pay attention to constipation, dry skin, fatigue, insomnia? What if we start to change that language? And I think it's an important one because wellness in functional medicine and integrative medicine, especially on social media, they make it very easy to feel like that should be normal and your doctor should know that. And then people get really frustrated because they go into their doctor and their doctor's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And that's really hard because then we create contention between the two people and we don't want that. We want our provider, telehealth, you know, concierge or regular to be on our team, not on the other team.
You've been in the field for a while.
18 years.
18 years. And I'm sure you've seen, obviously, I think in the last 5 to 10 years, I think we can all agree that like just wellness has become a way more household name than ever before, right? Like, you know, 15 years ago, you would say wellness to somebody and they would literally think of like a spa with like, you know, like hot tubs.
Yeah. Or crazy.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, all those crazy people.
Yeah. Like, you know, so wellness has definitely become way more household at this point. Mm-hmm. If you could speculate, like, do you see anything coming? Like, what do you think it looks like 5 to 10 years from now?
I actually think it's going to get bigger. I think the advances that we've seen in science, even just from the way we're looking at medications, right? We're looking at peptide medications, the way that we're looking at hormone medications. We've never done that before. So I think that those things, which are traditional medicine in the context of prescription, are going to start to marry more into the space of wellness. And I think that's going to explode in the next couple of years, which are people who are saying, okay, well, I do sauna, I get to bed early, I eat all the protein, but I also want to optimize my testosterone. I also want to make sure that I'm healing with the right amino acids. So I think that there will actually be more of a convergence between how we look at medicine from a pharmaceutical prescription peptide side of things, while pairing that or matching that with lifestyle in the wellness space. I think that's what's going to happen. I do hope, though, I also hope that the ease of which people speak on the platform of medicine changes a little. Because I think that it's really confusing to be a layperson who's not in the field to go onto social media and today kale is going to save their lives and tomorrow it's going to kill them and the next day that they should have broccoli and the next day it's going to give them cancer. And I think it's really hard if you're not in the field to be able to decipher that, which is essentially why I sit here, right? When I think about what would be the drive to come here to speak with you about this and to do all these things is I couldn't love more what I do around like education and speaking and just helping people decipher like what's real, what's worth it, what is somebody selling me something versus what is something that could be life-changing.
Creatures of Habit podcast, we talk a lot about habits, right? Like that is my life. My life has really sort of been built around habits. And in our kind of tight-knit circle, which really is, you know, like the wellness community is not very – it's we all – everybody we kind of associate with are in it. Yeah. But it's not very big.
It's not.
In the grand scheme of things, right? It's quite small in comparison to like the global whatever. However – I really do believe in morning routine and I really do believe in habits in the morning. And I always try to ask our guests that come on the show, like, and I think it's interesting that you're a doc and you work with patients, especially in an integrative way. Mm-hmm. Are there, so A, do you have a morning routine? Mm-hmm. And B, are there any habits that you can talk to us about that are getting a lot of buzz these days that you've seen to be like truly effective?
Absolutely. So my own morning routine, I have two because 2 days of the week I have to be in clinic extremely early. So those days are like up and out and it's just a different day. And I accept that and I love it. And those are the, you know, that's what that is. On the other days, I actually have a little bit of an addition to my habit. So I wake up 10 minutes before I want to wake up and I keep a red light therapy mask next to my bed. So as soon as I wake up, I immediately put the mask on without getting out of bed, without doing anything else. So now I have bright light on my face, red light, and I sort of fall in and out of sleep again for 10 or 20 minutes, depending on the morning. And that's the way I start my day. And I've had the mask for quite some time. And I've always been like, oh, I believe this is, I love the research behind red light therapy. I think it can be really helpful. But like, when am I going to find the time to do this, right? It's another accessory. And there are so many and they're all important and they all have good research. So like, how do you find the time? And I think one of the things that is important to me in both for myself and speaking to other people is that what can we do that isn't going to take you so far out of your norm? Because a habit has to somehow seamlessly integrate for it to have staying power for most people. Mm. If I try to do that at 9 a.m., kids are off to school, I got to start work, like, it's just too many distractions. So what in your life can we create that is going to adjust and become a habit but isn't going to take you out of your life, right? So for me, I put the red light therapy on. Then I get up, make my coffee, drink some water, and make my kids lunch. That's, you know, what I like to do. Now I'm connected to food first thing in the morning that feels healthy. I'm doing something for my children. I'm not going to see them for the rest of the day. I don't have to think too hard about it. And it's just like a mindless routine that sort of gets my day going. Because I know once it actually starts, I'm not going to slow down for the rest of the day.
So let's just talk about the red light therapy mask for a minute. Mm-hmm. What have you seen any like when did you start doing it?
I started religiously like in a habit about 3 months ago.
Have you felt or seen or experienced any changes in anything?
I have. And I am a believer in placebo. I am. So someone could debate the science with me and I would say possibly. Right? Because every morning I put it on, I feel like I'm doing something good for myself, for my mood, for my wake sleep cycles, for my habits, and for my skin. So that to me is a positive change.
That's it.
Done. The research backs it up. And so it feels even better.
You know, I'm so happy you said that because I've asked a lot of people on the, you know, on the podcast, okay, so like, oh, so you do that. So like, what is the, you know, benefit of that for you? And some people go right into the science. Mm-hmm. I have learned, because I do all sorts of crazy shit.
Yeah.
I don't do any of it for the science. I really don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the byproduct of it being some sort of potential increase in my metabolism or, you know, my exposure to the heat, you know, increasing my, you know, expanding and contracting my blood vessels, like things like that. Like, oh, great. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Totally.
However, the truth is, I know that when I'm doing these things, I am taking action in my life in a positive way.
100%.
And I honestly think that that could very well be the most valuable piece of all those habits, because we like to win.
It's taking agency, right? It's like, it's being that agent of health, of wellness, of decision. It's all those things. And people always say, like, follow the science. Well, no. Yes. I mean, obviously with some things, if we're talking more clinical, but in wellness, it's like, follow what feels good. Follow what feels right. Do what feels right. And then there will be science that follows on both sides, because there's science behind everything. But yeah, it's taking agency. It's doing what feels good.
Do you prescribe habits for your
patients? All the time.
So let's talk about that.
But never without speaking to them first, because what is prescribed has to seamlessly integrate for them, right? If you are somebody, I'll go with a classic example. If I'm like, eat more plants, and this is somebody who follows a carnivore diet religiously, like, that habit's not going to stick very well, right? Versus if I were to take someone who was not eating enough plants, and I'd say, and I'm not plant-based or vegan, I'm just using it as an example, if I were to say, let's bring this one in with this meal, right? So I prescribe habits all the time, a lot around sleep, stress management, checking in with self, I think is huge, and then water. The amount of people I work with who are dehydrated, don't drink enough water, can't understand why they don't feel well, can't understand why their skin doesn't look good, can't understand why they can't lose weight. And I'm like, did you drink water? No. And they've had coffee and they've had tea and they've had matcha and they've, you know. So as you drink 16 gallons of water, it's like crazy if y'all can see the size of this water bottle. I prescribe a lot of things that I want people to incorporate forever. And I always tell people, if I'm working with you on nutrition, it's not for today. You can find someone to do that. You can find someone who's going to transform your body for bodybuilding or IBBM or whatever that. You can find someone who's going to throw macros at you to lose. I have no interest. If what I tell you today doesn't also fit for you in 2 years, 4 years, or 6 years, I'm not interested.
And so, like, how do you gauge that? Because I push back a little bit there in the sense that, like, I know how hard it is to make a decision today forever, right? Like, just from my years of battling with addiction, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I've always had to make, for the most part, I really do kind of live my life, even though, like, I'm pretty set in my habitual ways. Like, I kind of live my life where I wake up in the morning and I'm like, boom, you got another shot, bro. Like, you got another chance. This is it. Like, today's the day. So, and I really do think about it like that. So, like, when you say, I'm not interested if the decisions that we're making today are not going to be able to sustain for 4 or 5 years.
The difference is, it's not that they can't sustain. I'm not interested in a decision that you could make today that isn't going to benefit you then. It doesn't mean you won't still be doing it,
gotcha.
Right?
Okay.
You might decide in 3 years that you're going to go gluten-free. But or maybe today we decide you're gluten-free and you decide in 3 years you're going to go back on gluten. The decision to do it today wouldn't be harmful or neglectful or not helpful for you at that time. Doesn't mean you'll still do it, right? We are constantly evolving humans. We constantly change. Mm-hmm. And I probably have a much different diet supplement routine than I did 3 years ago, and probably will be different in 3 years. The point that I'm making is, like, I'm not interested in a quick fix. I'm not interested in a temporary fix, and I'm not interested in a trend if it's not rooted in true wellness.
Interrupting this episode to share with you how we keep this podcast going, and that is by you supporting us through trying out or subscribing to Meal One on creaturesofhabit.com. I am giving a 20% discount on your first order, or your first subscription order, which is a serious discount. Meal One is a superfood meal. It is a blend of gluten and glyphosate-free oats. It is packed with 30 grams of plant-based protein, omega-3 fatty acids, a probiotic, digestive enzymes, vitamin D3. It also has chia seeds, flax seeds, pumpkin seeds, and a little bit of pink Himalayan salt. There are 37 grams of healthy carbohydrates and anywhere from 7 to 10 grams of fat, depending on the flavor. You will be full for hours, people. I promise you, we developed Meal One to help you perform at your absolute best, to get that incredibly healthy and convenient edge on the competition. There is not a better, more convenient meal to start your day with or use as a pre or post workout. The macros are perfect and sourced with the cleanest ingredients in the game. Take your performance to the next next level, make your life much easier by saving time, be able to eat healthy without sacrificing flavor, and all while staying full for hours, making your urge to snack far, far less. Hop over to creaturesofhabit.com, that is creaturesofhabit.com, and use promo code KOHPOD, the number 20, for your first order of meal one today. Back to the pod.
And so when you're prescribing nutrition, is it really everyone's different?
I always say that if you're working with a practitioner who's integrative or functional or nutrition, and they don't have the word "it depends" somewhere in your protocol, then you're not working with the right person, right? Because it cannot be that definitive. That's not how we are as humans. You can't live in that space where it is so definitive that there's no option for movement. So the answer is it depends. Like, everybody's a little bit different. You and I both might agree we need to have a tremendous amount of fiber. Protein is the macronutrient that needs to be prioritized. Carbohydrates should have fiber, and we should keep our sugars lower. We'd probably agree on those, just knowing a little bit about you and I. How that looks, how we eat, should look very different.
In terms of what we're eating?
What we're eating, who's preparing it, how it's being cooked, all of those things, right? So, like, our bodies are different. Our needs are different. So it does differentiate. I'll probably tell every human walking this planet, 50% of your diet should come from some form of plants. Now, whether that's plants as in vegetables, plants as in fruits and vegetables, plants as in grains that have, I still believe that 50% of the diet should come from that. Doesn't mean that we're all going to have the same version of that 50%. It has to be individual.
The interesting thing, though, is that, like, so I've been in the, you know, I was competing in bodybuilding, right? And I really pushed my body to far extremes. The protocol to get there, quite frankly, is the same for almost anybody that walks that path. There's the rare human that can eat 350 grams of carbohydrates in a deficit, right? That it'd still be lean and shredded to pieces. There
totally
are those
agree.
People.
Yep.
But very small percentage, right? The majority of people that are trying to lose weight are going to have to be in a calorie deficit.
Yes.
Their carbohydrates are going to typically be lower, and the carbohydrates that they are taking are typically going to be scheduled around the time they work out, and their fat percentage is going to be the lowest of the three macros.
Okay.
That's from my experience in regards to, like, someone, if I was, like, trying to take somebody from somebody that was like, okay, I'm trying to get in insane shape. I'm going to say, okay, well, if you're currently eating 2,500 calories right now, I'm going to put you in a deficit. I'm going to increase your protein. I'm going to drop your carbohydrates, and your fat is probably going to be 50% or less of what your carbohydrates are.
But your barometer for the success of this individual is to get in insane shape.
Totally.
It's not to
longevity.
Practice wellness that will last for years.
Right.
And therein lies the difference.
Yes.
Right? Like, I've been down that road before. I've been in the field for 18 years. I've worked with many professional athletes and actors and actresses and trained them to get their body to look exactly how it needed to look. That's not sustainable.
No.
And I have nothing negative to say. I love that people go on that journey. It's another version of challenge. I'm an athlete since I was 3 years old. I love that. I love that tenacity and that drive and that goal. But I do separate that from wellness.
Yes. But the question that I have is that why does that typically work for the majority of people that take that, that can actually commit to that, to get to that goal? And like a lifestyle plan could be very different for different people.
Well, first of all, that's laser focused, the bodybuilding, if we're using that as an example, and it's short term, right? So, like, it's a targeted period of time that we can look at to get to that goal, and there's an appreciable place to be when you get, like, you can appreciate, like, I'm here, I got here, and I use this modality to get here. They usually have the ability to take all things that would distract them out. Maybe they don't go out to eat as much because they're on this plan. Maybe they're training twice a day, and maybe they're, you know, they've made adjustments in their life to be able to accommodate that high specificity, that high need, that high level of buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
So it works. It's training. It's training for something, whether it's marathon. Like, people who train for a marathon, at the end of it, they're spending 3-4 hours a day training. Like, they don't do that every day for the rest of their lives. It's a targeted period of time, and we make adjustments. And most of the time, that's why it works. If you had to do that every single day for the next 10 years, you might not be able to make that same commitment because it's the intensity of it is different, right? And so life gets in the way if we let it get in the way, or life is there and we can create the way in a sense. And so I think when we're talking about longevity, it's about doing things that I can do for a long time. And I don't think carbohydrate restriction or fat restriction is sustainable over an extended period of time. I think it's very sustainable for a short period of time.
Do you think that the elimination of gluten, dairy, and refined sugar is wellness oriented, like something that every single functional medicine doc that I've met with, and maybe they're telling me this because I have chronic Lyme disease, I don't know, but like every single one of them is like, it'd be in your best interest to stay away from gluten, stay away from dairy, and stay away from as much sugar as possible. Like, don't eat refined sugar.
Yes, I think all three of those statements on a really broad scope would be true. But I would actually nuance that. I would say, well, there's a world in which cultured dairy that has a high probiotic might actually feel good for your gut and might feel great for your digestion.
Like an example.
Like a kefir. Or maybe even for someone like you, like, you'd say cottage cheese doesn't bother me and it's high protein and it feels good for me, right? So to blanket that everything is bad or not good is hard for me. Should you be having milkshakes? No, that's probably going to destroy you, right? It's all the wrong types of dairy plus the sugars plus the – but I would nuance it a little bit. You know, is gluten bad? Well, that's to say that a barley in its form is the same as a bagel. And I inherently think that's not true, right? I think a New York City bagel is not anywhere near that of some barley that you'd put in a homemade chicken soup with bone broth, right? Someone can say, well, why wouldn't you just use quinoa? I said, maybe you don't like quinoa. Mm-hmm. So I think it's nuanced. I think it does depend. It goes back to the question that you first asked, which is why aren't all those plans like essentially the same? Well, yeah, they're all high fiber. They're all lowering sugar. They're all optimizing protein. But how you do that would be different. I don't walk in any room and be like, every single person, gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free. I don't want that. I don't want anyone to do that to me.
But don't you think that if we told the United States of America to go gluten, dairy, and sugar-free and walk 10,000 steps a day, we would completely eradicate the obesity epidemic?
Like, in an ideal world, you could tell people to do a lot of things that would eradicate a lot of things. You could tell people to love more and there'd be less hate in the world, right? Like, sure. But, I mean, where I work in the clinic, we're an FQHC, a federally qualified health clinic. I work with very low-income populations. Like, I'm struggling to get food on their table.
Right.
Let alone ideal foods. It goes back to what you said earlier, which is like, you know, we're in this fitness circle and this wellness circle, which is really small. When you're in it, it feels like, oh, everybody, you know, you look in, you know, 25,000 followers on Instagram, this is a big circle. It's a tiny circle. And the world is so much bigger. And individuals' access to, one, knowledge, two, food, right? And I did my master's out in Nebraska, at University of Nebraska. And like, they don't have access to what we have access to here as far as food, mm-hmm. right? Even just that, if we think about, like, we're in New York City. We got everything. But it doesn't play that way.
Yeah. I love that conversation because I think, you know, we, like, nutrition, it's such a slippery slope with nutrition. There's so many things, like you said, right? Like, one day kale's great. Then you got a mm-hmm. guy like Dave Osprey that tells you kale's going to kill you, you know?
Exactly.
And then, you know, you eat a lot of broccoli, cauliflower, and you're like, this is like, I'm eating like really
now
great
stuff. Now I have hypothyroid,
yeah. Yeah, now I can't eat that. You know, oh, I'm supposed to eat, you know, venison. Oh, we just, you know, like. And so I think that there's just so many different things. And I agree with you, right? Like, you know, we all know the difference between right and wrong when it comes to nutrition.
Sure.
We just all know.
Nobody's saying drink cups of high fructose corn syrup.
Right. Like, we all know what's going to be – we all know on face value what's good for us and what's not.
Correct.
But in the nuanced arena, I think it's really hard. It's really hard for people to grasp. And so I do like having the conversation because, you know, I think – for me, like, I kind of know, I really do know what makes me feel good and what makes me not feel good. And
But how long did it take you to get to that point, right? Like, I don't know if 20 years ago you would have been able to say, I know what makes me feel good and what doesn't.
Well, 20 years journey. Ago, smoking crack made me feel good. So
right. And so for so many people who aren't self-evolved or are working towards that, they can't identify gluten-free as making them feel good.
Yeah.
They're not anywhere there yet.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I got caught in the bubble there for a minute.
Yeah. And that's why I love this, right? And it's like why I keep doing this, because I believe in all that. Anytime someone's on a platform speaking about wellness, I'm here for it. I want to hear us all talking more about how to be healthy. I just think we get our blinders on where we're like, well, then it's healthy for everyone if it's healthy mm-hmm. for me or some version of that. And there are principles that are healthy. Vegetables are healthy. Less sugar is healthy. Optimizing protein is healthy. Does that mean 0.1 gram per pound or 1 gram per kilo? That's a big debate out there in the world, right? So like nutrition is emotional, it's cultural, it's social, it's science, it's all of it.
Sleep is very important.
Huge, and probably the most neglected.
What kind of sleep habits do you talk to your patients about?
This one's tough. I mean, people are very protective of their sleep. And they're also very protective of their sleep problems, which I found to be really interesting. When somebody has a problem sleeping, trouble sleeping, they get very protective of that because, and I understand this, I'm a former insomniac, right? And I would, like, it would be very hard to hear someone say, like, you have to sleep more, right? Like, what do you think I'm trying to do? There's nothing more frustrating than being tired and laying there wide awake. But like anything, right? It's like if someone said, I want to run a marathon, but they can't run a mile, would you prescribe 23 miles? No, you'd say, start with one. And I think the sleep is the same thing. You know, prescribing sleep hygiene may be as simple as getting the room colder, if they even have the ability to do that. It might be blackout shades. It might be magnesium. It might be, there are so many things, but we don't throw them all in there and expect them to sleep that night, right? I'm like, try this. And let's also, you know, do some breathing work. It's prescribing behavior change. Mm-hmm. To get to better sleep. It's not prescribing sleep or sleep habits, because I think that's tough. I think we want to be able to help people feel empowered to change by doing things that they can do every day. If I said to you, I need you to meditate for 20 minutes before you go to sleep, you might be able to, but not everyone would. If I said to you, close your eyes and for 20 seconds before you go to sleep, I want you to think about, you know, wow, it's much more achievable. In a week, can that 20 seconds be 2 minutes? Like, it's behavior change. It's prescribing behavior change and knowing who you're speaking with.
Have there been some habits just across the board that you've prescribed patients or implemented yourself that you've seen consistently make an impact?
Yes. Checking in with yourself. I start with people with that all the time. How often do we go around, especially I work with a lot of wellness and moms, and how often do we spend our day checking in with our boss, our partners, our kids, and everyone else before we're like, did I eat? Did I breathe? Did I pee? So I don't have time to exercise. Like, I think that's where it starts, is that we don't prioritize self, and not in a selfish way, but like, what do I need? Not what do I need that's going to disrupt everything in my life, but like, am I hungry or am I bored? Am I looking for sweets because I really just want a little dark chocolate? Or am I trying not to feel what I feel and I'm looking to soothe the pain with something that's going to make me have a, you know, dopamine serotonin response? I have people ask these questions all the time. Walk into the kitchen. Are you hungry or are you bored? Are you stressed or are you looking for something that actually is going to make you feel better or just thinking it might? So it's checking in with self. It is optimizing sleep and whatever that might look like for somebody. It's definitely drinking more water and eating more vegetables. Everyone laughs because I'm like, probably not eating enough vegetables, if you know. And for me, a non-negotiable is movement. Not to be confused with 3 hours of classes or exercise. Some days it's 10 minutes of really brisk walking because I'm in the clinic all day and that's what I do when I get home to clear my brain. And other days it's an hour of CrossFit style workout. But movement is a non-negotiable, and I believe it should be for the entire planet, because I think as we get older, if you're not moving it, you're sick. And illness and disease starts with sedentary lifestyle.
Mm. And for movement, is it a 7-day a week thing for you?
So exercise is not, but movement is. Right. Yeah. And I separate the two. Exercise is a targeted space where I'm going to focus on either a muscle mass or muscle group or a cardiovascular output. That is exercise. If I'm going to the gym, that's exercise. If I'm going for a 20-minute walk after dinner, that's movement. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to walk back to my clinic,
but isn't that exercise too? Like for someone who's just because I'm a big advocate for walking. I feel like walking is like the gateway to
it's wellness, health.
Yeah, I really do think that walking. And now that I've been rucking a lot, like I just throw a little weight on. But like I also think that walking is like I know like I'm gonna leave here. And I'm going to walk from here back to North 12th and Bedford in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a wonderful, I don't know, 5 or 6 mile walk. And I know for sure that that's exercise. Like sure. It's just absolute exercise. It's not intense. And so I think that that kind of stuff should be done 7 days a week.
I do too. You know. I differentiate the exercise in my own head just for clarity of it doesn't have to happen every day, meaning I don't have to pick up a weight every day or I don't have to get my heart rate to zone 4 every day. It's more of like I have to move my body, right? Yeah. When you work in a hospital, when you're going through, you know, medical school and you're working in a hospital, after somebody has surgery, has a baby, has an injury, what's the first thing they try and get you to do? Try and get you up and moving. Mm-hmm. They don't want anybody in the bed. That's where illness is going to set in. People be like, well, you want me up? I just had surgery 10 hours ago. Like, yes, we want you up, right? They put the compression boots on. They want the body to circulate blood. Like, we're not meant to sit and just be sedentary. We're meant to move. And so if someone says, well, I don't have time to go to a gym. I can only walk 3 miles every day. Great. That's your exercise. That's where the nuance of it comes in.
If you had to leave the audience here with one piece, it's the beginning of a new year. Most people have some sort of a, whether they've said it out loud or they've kept it to themselves, most people start the new year with a, I'm going to. Mm-hmm. And most people that probably listen to this podcast have a lot of those.
Yeah.
But if there was something that you can leave us with to keep people on the path that you've used in your life or you know you've used with your patients or have seen in the hospital, like what kind of piece of advice can you give us?
Knowing the population listening to this podcast is going to skew my answer a little mm-hmm. bit, but I think it would be to turn inwards and to find the things that are going to drive you. I think we give a lot of our power, our attention, our anxiety, and our energy to what other people are doing and feeling like we should do that. And I think that where you will feel your best is when we turn inwards and say, what do I need? What is going to make me better? Is it earlier sleep? Is it, you know, just because you get up super early, does that mean that this person should? Or maybe they should stay up an hour later because they'll be more productive there, right? Can I take the principle of whatever it is that I'm being influenced? Can I figure out how that influence could be positive for me in my own way? Mm. So it's a kind of a big and a non-specific answer. Do all the things that make you feel good, right? Buy the supplement, start the workout, do those things. Who's to say that that's bad when we're making changes in our life that are for the better, but are we making them for what feels good for us? I think that too many of us look outwards and not inwards.
I am so happy you said that. And I had a thought this morning that is so relevant to that, where I was in the gym early. Because of an injury I had in June, I've really just sort of like slowed down my CrossFit training mm-hmm. and picked back up my heavy strength, or not necessarily even super heavy strength training, but strength training. And I'm actually doing Christian Harris's programming right now for his pump days.
Okay.
And I'm in the gym and I am like, it's hard. I'm like really pushing hard for where I'm at right now. And I was just like, man, you know, I love doing this. Like this, I really love doing this. Like I love being here, like right now. I really felt like great. And the thought came to mind. I did CrossFit for 1.5 years, right? And I went in hard and I came in hard. And I really enjoy it, but not as much as I enjoy strength training. Like strict strength training. I really love adding weight to the bar, and you know, like, it just, there's something about it that I genuinely just love. And also aesthetically, I like what strength training, you know, and resistance training does that's different than CrossFit.
Yeah.
But I questioned, wait a second, were you doing CrossFit for you, or were you doing CrossFit for social media? Like, what were you doing CrossFit for,
Mike? Big question.
You know, like, was it something that you really enjoyed doing? Or is it something that you really enjoy doing? Or is it something that looks really fucking cool? You know?
Then I would challenge that question back too, though, because at that point in your life, would you have been able to get out of heavy lifting what you get out of it today? Or are you an evolved version of self that can plug into this and not need to do the bells and whistles or the more popular things, right? Or did doing CrossFit connect you to Chris Harris, whose program you're following and you're loving? Like, I believe that we are constantly evolving, but it's the steps that we take each way. Like, I would love to go back and be like, man, I used to box. I thought that was so cool. Now if I box, I can't move my hands for days because, like, I'm older. I don't know, right? But I don't know that if I did boxing now, I don't think I would enjoy it. If I didn't do it then and I did what I'm doing now, I'd probably not feel great. So I think you're right. There probably is some sort of ego that gets in our way, but also there's life that is sort of a progressive step. I bet that there's something about CrossFit then that is helping you love what you're doing now.
Thank you for that. Jamie, this was awesome.
Yay!
I'm so happy we did this.
Me too.
We've been talking about this for a while. Mm-hmm. And so I'm so happy that we got to do it.
Same.
A bunch of value. We talked about a lot of things. Where can the audience find you?
Yeah, you can find me actually on Instagram. It's just Jamie Shear. I'm sure you can plug the spelling into show notes because it's not spelled like beer. And this year for me, the goal is to just do a lot more podcasts. That's where people like to hear me speak. And I get a lot of feedback to just do more podcasts because it's educational and I love to educate. And I'll be doing a lot more speaking, stage speaking, and just sort of touring, going around doing different places. So find me on social and or on my website, same thing, jamieshear.com. And send me messages, plug in. This is what I love to do. I just love to talk and educate and sort of share really solid knowledge in wellness. I think that's what we need to sort of balance out what's trending. So I'm here for it.
Awesome. I love it. Thank you.
Yay. Thank you for having me. Woohoo.
You guys know what the daily is. Another good one. Value barometer high. I am grateful for you guys tuning in and listening to the podcast and being a part of this community and, you know, ideally potentially sharing this podcast with your friends and family. That would mean the world to me if you just hit share. I would really love that. That's the only payment I ask for. If you're feeling up for it, a 5-star rating and a review would be fantastic. But other than that, family, I really appreciate you guys tuning in and definitely go check out Jamie Shear. She is she's a real expert and she knows what she's talking about, and it's been awesome to get to know her over the years and now have her on the podcast to drop some gems and drop some knowledge with you guys. So you know what to do. It's a new year. Stick to your plan. Triangle. As long as you're moving, as long as you're eating well, and as long as you're sleeping, everything else will emanate from there. The triangle. Fitness, nutrition, sleep. And I think we talked about all three of those things here. So I know that you got some great tidbits. I love you. I appreciate y'all.
And there you have it, folks. I hope we delivered some valuable content for you to implement into your life on a daily basis. Please remember that our habits have the power to make us or break us. Replacing bad habits with great ones is the answer to living a life of happiness, optimism, and high performance. We are capable of achieving anything. We all have what it takes to give it all we've got. Commit to one great habit each day and truly commit and watch how everything in your life starts evolving from good to great. If you enjoyed this podcast, please follow us wherever you listen to your podcast. Give us a 5-star rating and a nice review. That will help us grow this podcast, bring on more amazing guests, and continue to deliver invaluable content on a weekly basis. Lastly, please share this podcast with any friends or family that you think might appreciate it. And
always remember, want plus do equals have. Until the next one, fam, peace.